broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November 16th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is hour two at two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We believe the checks and balances put in place by our founders absolutely brilliant and one of the great solutions we still have left. That's why we don't need a revolution, but a restoration certainly should be the order of the day. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right. There's so much to talk about. It's just about impossible to even cover it all. Let's start out. A guest riding shotgun today on the broadcast, Mr. James Edwards, well-known author, the book Racism, Schmacism, also well-known talk show host, thepoliticalcesspool.org. An award-winning broadcast every Saturday night on your favorite talk stations or live and on-demand on the internet at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Sam, the air is a little sweeter. The sun is a little brighter today. I can't believe this is my first time to be on with you. It seems like a month has passed since we were together on that election night, incredible election night coverage brought by this network. So the last time I was talking with you and Kurt on the air was just minutes before Trump was officially elected.
Actually, you joined us right after, the day after, too.
I can't even remember that.
Yeah, see, it's
you're,
just...
You're 100% right.
But it does feel like, with so many things happening, it does feel like a gazillion things have changed. Now, I want to talk about a couple of quick issues. We got a lot of stories to cover today, so we got to rock and roll.
Let's do it.
I guess a mayor and somebody in the mayor's administration or whatever in a given city wrote on their Facebook page... They were talking about getting rid of Obama, and the mayor basically said, hey, Michelle Obama called ape in heels. I'm going to say that again. Michelle Obama was called a, quote, ape in heels, and all hell breaks loose, folks. They're literally calling for these people to be fired as racist and everything else, and even the sheriff came to the mayor's defense and said, wait a minute, she didn't mean any harm here. The mayor is basically saying, you know what, all I can tell you is I didn't mean this to be racist. I'm just glad we're getting somebody else in office. And it was just my way of saying it's our day now, and sorry if I've offended anybody. My problem isn't that that statement was made. Personally, I would not have made a statement like that, but I understand that people make statements all the time. My problem is with people backing away from their statements, Kurt and James. What I mean by that is, look, it's fine to say, you know what, that might not have been a very kind statement, but what I don't like is the capitulation to the racism idea that now, just because you said she's like an ape in heels, that now somehow because she's black, you called her an ape and now it's racist. Okay. It's fine to say, you know what, I should have minded my tongue better. That wasn't very kind. Okay. I'm sorry about that, but we need to learn to not just back away from every statement on the planet. We need to learn not to just run for the hills every time. The liberals don't do that. If they make a horrible statement, they don't apologize and run around and snivel and melt down. We talked with Joel Skousen, and I want to articulate this and then let you rock and roll, James and Kurt. With Joel Skousen, I talked about yesterday, we have a right to discriminate. I'm going to say that again. We have a God-given, unalienable right to discriminate. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't like discrimination. I don't agree with it. I wouldn't do it. Okay, just because Jay-Z gets on the stage in defense of Hillary Clinton and runs around and drops F-bombs and N-bombs, that doesn't mean that I'm going to do it. But I'm going to support Jay-Z's right to do that and say that if he wants to. I'm going to support this lady's right to say Michelle Obama's like an ape in heels. Even though I disagree, I wouldn't say that. It's just not the language that I prefer to use as a Christian. Nevertheless, we have the right to discriminate, and this is the problem that I'm having. If you capitulate on that right, where does it end? And we'll get to where it's going to end soon in the broadcast. So don't blow the cover here. But James, what do you think? I think we have the right to discriminate here. And we cannot melt down.
You might have heard me gasp in the middle of your statement there, only because I thought I was going to be provocative and, say something that might make the audience pay attention, and that would be, hey, listen, I heard what you said about the ape comment. My only problem with that whole story was the apology.
And then exactly right. Not because we think the speech is right.
Well, what I would have said is this, after having said that, and I think this was a public official.
Well, first off, would you say that?
No, I wouldn't have said it, but here's the thing. If I did say it, and I was a public official, especially as this person was, after being drugged to the carpet on it, I would have just said, you know what, maybe I shouldn't have said it, but grow up, all right?
That's right.
Something like that.
That's exactly right.
It's just words. Come on, lighten up, everybody. And that's what the thing is, Sam. And, of course, the motto of my show for 12 years has been no retreat, no surrender, no apologies. I have never apologized for anything that I said on the air because, of course, we don't get on the air and make threats or say crude things and things like that. We speak our minds, and I'm not going to advocate for a position that is not heartfelt, genuine. So I don't apologize for what I believe in, and I think that my beliefs are in accordance with our God. But I will tell you, all of this mewling from the press, things are really changing. They're used to having spineless, wimpy conservatives to push around. They throw a two-minute temper tantrum and say racist and white supremacist and Nazi and anti-Semite.
And misogynist.
And it just crushes these people. Well, people have gotten so numb to it, Sam, that it's completely lost its thing. Everybody is a racist that the left disagrees with.
Hey, did you hear the latest? Hillary Clinton is saying the reason she lost is because white women are so misogynistic that they handed the victory to the Donald.
Hate speech is any speech that the left hates, and all of these people that are bestowed these libelous and slanderous names are just people whom the left opposes. And it's the racist, all of these buzzwords are applied universally now, and it's not working anymore. Number one, because they've just been too fast and loose with it. They say it to anyone that they oppose. They claim that these people are...
And they stretch it, too. They can't say Sam Bushman's a white supremacist, so they say Sam Bushman is a supporter of white nationalism. Yeah. I don't even
by
know
the way,
means, by the way.
By the way, it looks...
Go ahead, Kurt.
I was just going to say, by the way, it looks like, according to WorldNet Daily piece, it was a mayor of a place called Clay, West Virginia,
yeah,
and it was a lady.
Yeah, that's
who
right.
Said
that's
this.
Right. Yeah,
and
a lady.
I guess,
see, they can't whip the sexism thing out on her.
Yeah, Pamela Ramsey Taylor, director of the
I'm not
Clay
again.
County
I wouldn't
Development
say what Pamela
Corp.
said, but I defend her right to say it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be very clear. And let's be very clear, she has the right to discriminate. If she thinks that Hillary's an ape in heels, she can think that if she wants to.
And she was saying that in the opining about this whole transition between Obama or Mrs. Obama to Melania Trump. So she said, it will be so refreshing to have a classy, beautiful, dignified first lady back in the White House.
And see, I can't argue
tired
with that.
I'm tired of seeing an ape, ape in heels.
I think it's actually quite comical. I think that I would not have said it. I would advise her to not say things like that going forward. And I would say for her to say, you know what, I shouldn't have said it. You're right. It's not very kind. Okay, I go there. But to melt down in racism and apologize and threats of being fired, and we've got the right to discriminate, folks. And I'm telling you right now, who's got the guts to go on mainstream TV besides Sam Bushman and say, I have a right to discriminate, and so do you, and I'll defend that right to the death. And take these people on. I'd like to talk to some of these lead thugs in the media about the right to discriminate, because I'll win. Because where does it end is the question.
I guess the mayor didn't actually say it first.
Somebody else said it.
The director said it. The mayor just said, hey, you just made my day, Pam.
Right.
So, anyway.
But see, that's how it is, though. I mean, she might as well have said it, so they'll just say she said it, right?
Well, but Trump has set an example. Trump didn't apologize for anything on the campaign trail, even in some cases where maybe he should have or where he maybe was wrong. But he never apologized. And where did it get him? It got into the White House. All of this, no one apologizes except for our people. And the time for apology is over. Now, as you said, Sam, that doesn't give us the license to go out and be crude and to be hurtful towards other people. We should always try to live by the golden rule. But at the same time, no one is ever forced to apologize or drug down to the mat unless they're a conservative or if they said something that violates the dictates of political correctness. Enough with the apologies. It's time for no apologies. It's time to stand up far rights to be Americans. And
well, I got another guy that actually stood up and did a pretty good job that you'll be surprised about, too.
Well, just before we go there, though, it's interesting to know in at least more detail on the story. She said that my comment was not intended to be racist at all. I was referring to my day being made for change in the White House.
Yeah, I
imagine. I am truly sorry for any hard feelings this may have caused. Those who know me know that I'm not in of any way racist. But, you know, it doesn't matter if you if you're a white woman, as far as I can tell, or white
you're
man,
a racist. You're also racist. A misogynist internally, and you just don't even know it.
Good.
That's what Hillary's saying now. I want to kind of mention somebody who else has got some guts for a change. Steve Bannon in the White House is, I think, a great idea. But now, a well-known senator standing up for Bannon. Guess who it is in seconds.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare. The war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
I smoke because it's a habit. It's very hard to quit. I've tried.
My wife smokes. It's not allowed in the home. It's not allowed around my children. I just know it isn't good.
My husband hates that I smoke, and I smoke outside.
It irritates her a little bit, but I think she sees and understands what I'm trying to get across to her, that it's not only bad to her, but it's bad to my three beautiful daughters and my two sons.
My dad gets upset with my mom because she smokes and he doesn't, and whenever my mom goes and smokes, she has to go smoke outside.
I don't think my mom should smoke because it's really bad for you and it could hurt you really bad.
I do think there is a correlation between parents and kids. The parent smokes, the kids think it's okay for them to smoke.
Sometimes all you need is a small reason to quit.
Yeah, I love my mom very much, but I still wish she'd stop smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live. So you got two senators literally kind of in a battle here. U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democrat of Massachusetts, said, hey, Trump's advisor Stephen Bannon is a white supremacist. All right, now, Rand Paul, good for Rand, stands up. U.S. Senator from Kentucky said, well, he's defending Trump's advisor, Steve Bannon. So you got a battle between the senators almost. Warren going ballistic saying, hey, the people didn't elect Donald to promote white supremacy. And Rand Paul says, this is nuts on parade. This is crazy. That isn't the case with Steve Bannon at all. Now, understand that Breitbart News is so sick of it, believe it or not. They're taking a page out of the James Edwards playbook, ladies and gentlemen. So is the Donald. Why? Because James Edwards has been at it first. I advised James to do this. Others have too. And so James took the first steps. Now Donald jumping on that train. Good for the Trumpster. And now Breitbart News Service jumping on the same page out of James Edwards' playbook. James? Oh, hold on. I got to put you up. Sorry. Go ahead, sir.
Well, as your listeners may remember, Sam, earlier this year when there was such a furor in the press about Donald Trump Jr. appearing on this program, Liberty Roundtable, and me participating in that particular show that he was featured, the press went ballistic, and it kept us in the national media for the following 9 or 10 months. We were tied to the Trump campaign just about every week from the 1st of March through Election Day, and still even after Election Day. And they were hysterical to tie him into white supremacy and all of these things that we're not. But, hey, you know, it's not going to stop us from calling you that. And normally that's enough to work. Normally that's enough to get people to break down. But Trump is impervious to that, and it's that alpha attitude that, really helped him and helped him steal it. But one of the most ludicrous allegations or slurs, libels against me was that I was the leader of the Ku Klux Klan, not a sympathizer, which I'm not a member, which I'm not, but actually its leader. And so we sued a newspaper, and that's still ongoing in court. We sued the Detroit News and the columnist who wrote that. And so now it looks like Breitbart is considering doing the same. It looks like they didn't mention the outlet, but I believe it to be CNN. They're going to potentially litigate these slurs as well. And I think people do need to fight back against the lying press. And I think that's what we're seeing. But I think also, you know, even Donald Trump towards the end of the campaign saw it clearly. He says if they oppose you, they will try to destroy you. They will call you a racist, a sexist. They will do that and much worse. I mean, you played that clip many, many times and he's spot on. And I think now everyone sees it. I mean, it's been laid bare because the press went all in and they lost. So this whole industry of...
Not only did they go all in and they lost, but they went all in and they lied, James, and then they lost.
And this whole industry of being able to get people to back down by calling them dirty names, we've stood up to it for years.
Well,
the president of the United States standing up to it and beating it and backing it back down. But he sees now Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon has been called everything that I've been called and then some. He's been called a headline, white supremacist Jew hater. I mean, how sensational. A white supremacist Jew hater has been named to a top post in the White House. There's no evidence for that. There's nothing there. They do the same thing that they've done with me. They'll go back 8 years and pull out a quote out of context and say, oh, look at this. And this is how they do it. But Trump sees, and everybody sees, this is what they call people that they hate. And as the Trump administration continues to see how liberally, no pun intended, that these slurs are applied, I think they're going to say, you know what? They're doing this with all the people we know not to be these things. What about the people like Edwards and Bushman who they said these things about and tried to tie us to? Maybe they were
like... Well, like black woman Trump supporter and good friend of ours, she was a Trump delegate, Tracy Winbush. If you're white, you're a racist. If you're black, you're an Uncle Tom or you're a sellout. There's just no way to get around their agenda-driven hate.
The world's turned upside down, Sam. It's over. And see, this was the only card the media had. But for so long, it worked because our people didn't have spines. Spines have come back to the people. And without this card to make people back down, the media is totally impotent. And I don't know what they're going to do. This is the only thing they had. Normally it worked. It doesn't work anymore. It's a brave new world, Sam. The world has changed. The world has changed.
No, sir. They're going to take it to another level, which was their real intended goal all along.
You can't say much. There's not much more you can say.
Oh, yes, there is, sir. Oh, yes.
You could say that he's a pedophile, maybe.
No. They're doing it to Mike Pence, for starters. You just emailed me the article. They've created a new label, sir.
Yeah, Christian supremacists. So there's this new thing. Mike Pence, I tell you, I think we have a winning formula between Donald Trump's nationalism and populism and Mike Pence's, what I believe to be a very sincere Christian. Everybody says they're a Christian. I believe it when it comes from Pence. Between the nationalism and populism of Trump and the social conservatism of Pence, I think you really have a key blend there in the White House. But no, so this thing is, Mike Pence is a Christian supremacist, and it talks about his upbringing and his how he was very much outspoken about his Christian faith, but much more than so many, he has acted on it. And the legislation and the things that he's pushed for as a elected official have been very congruent with his stated faith. And so that's where Mike Pence...
Yep, so now what they're doing, you're not just a white supremacist now. Listen carefully. You're a Christian supremacist. Jeremy Scahill writes the article, and he basically says that Mike Pence will be the most powerful Christian supremacist in U.S. history. Now, think about
if there are Christian supremacists, then you'd have non-Christian supremacists.
No.
Those guys would be liberal supremacists.
No.
They would be.
So you're just showing how much
what
of a
would
bigot
they be?
You are.
Liberal national? No, they would be worldists.
You're just
somehow,
a tinfoil hat bigot.
Globalists.
No, you.
They don't. Yeah.
In fact, I don't even see how we had this conversation with you.
It was interesting to see one of the
See, these people are just nuts. You can't apply any logic to them, Kurt.
And I guess, you know, here's what's the problem, Sam, with Bannon, by the way, just in case you and James haven't figured it out. He's a member of the press, and all members of the press are supposed to be, well, they're supposed to work with guys like the New York Times who say now they're going to be honest with
their
reporting
sir.
And
get
all that
done.
Kind of stuff. So he has basically
but
left
he's not really
the,
legitimate press.
The fold. Yeah, well, that's right, because he's now they say he's part of the alt-right. Let's see, what's the other phrase?
White nationalist, white supremacist, alt-right, Nazi.
Yeah. That his website is what... white nationalists love or
darn
whatever.
Nice.
And I was like, I didn't know that. I always thought you just read it for the content.
Well, you must not be a real white nat. Wait a minute. How does that all
work? His website is adored, according to Daily Beast. It's adored by white nationalists.
Yeah, you know what, Curtis?
So, like, when you log on there, you say, it asks you, hey, are you a white nationalist? You know, I mean, that's what it starts out.
Come on in, baby. Take your coat off. Come on in. Now, listen, it's like the gateway drug. You know, you go to Breitbart, pretty soon you start fiending more. So then you go to James Edwards' website, the book of I mean, these people are crazy. They're absolutely nuts, and they've lost control. Their narrative has been flat out rejected by the American people, and now they're in absolute full panic mode.
Well, they're trying to come up with new terms, but I'll tell you this. I reject the term white supremacist. I am an outspoken, unabashed advocate for my people. I am pro-white. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But there's a big difference between that being a white supremacist, so I reject white supremacy. But if you want to call me a Christian supremacist, I will embrace that all day long. There is one way to eternal salvation, that's through Jesus.
But hold on. The whole idea of Christian and supremacist are a contradiction in terms, sir. If you're truly a Christian, you believe we're the children of God, all of us, right?
I do, but I believe that the God of the Bible is the one true God.
No, I understand, but what I'm saying is you got to break this down. So you might reject the other gods, put no other gods before me, you know? We'll talk about it.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
This hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Christopher Tapp, the Idaho Falls resident wrongfully convicted of raping and murdering 18-year-old Angie Dodge, should not have to spend another Thanksgiving or Christmas in prison, insists Stephen A. Drizin, a clinical law professor at Northwestern University's Pritzker School of Law in Chicago. He should be home with his mother and family for the holidays. Writing in the Idaho Falls Post-Register, Drizin reviews the long and outrageous history of this case, which began in July 1996 when Angie Dodge was sexually assaulted and murdered in her bedroom. Tapp was convicted a little less than 2 years later on the basis of what even the Bonneville County Prosecutor Office now admits was a false confession extracted through coercive means. Angie's mother, Carol, conducted her own investigation and became convinced of Mr. Tapp's innocence, Drizin observes. In the annals of wrongful conviction cases, it is almost unheard of for a murder victim's mother to champion the cause of the man who confessed to killing her daughter. Tapp's confession was wrested from him by Idaho Falls police investigators, with a central role played by future Mayor Jared Furman, who had promised him immunity if he implicated a friend named Ben Hobbs. Then they threatened Tapp with the death penalty unless he confessed. Both Tapp and Hobbs were cleared by DNA evidence, yet Tapp has been in prison for nearly half his life. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to libertynewsdaily.com. For libertynewsdaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So they're saying Mike Pence will be the most powerful Christian supremacist in U.S. history. Literally, Jeremy Scahill writes this smut, this absolute lie. It's like, wow, are you kidding me? But here's the deal. I agree if we want to say Christian supremacist means that we believe God is supreme. I'll go there. What I don't like about the Christian supremacist term, though, is that it makes it sound like, because I believe in God and I'm a Christian and I'm white, that I believe I have better access to God as a white man than any other race. And look, we're all God's children. So it all depends on how they manipulate the meanings to their agenda. Nevertheless, I do say God Almighty, the God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob, is our God. And let's be very clear, there is one God. And we love him and he loves us. And I testify of his son, Jesus Christ, being the only savior of the world. And I'll go there for sure. I guess we just got to be very careful of what they mean when they say he'll be the most powerful Christian supremacist. Okay, if we're saying our God's above all other gods, well, there are no other gods. So I don't know how he can be a supremacist above others in a racist term. They use it against we the people. However, God is supreme. And if you want to use supreme and supremacist interchangeably, and that we adore our God and are loyal to our God, then so be it. But we got to be very careful of the way they manipulate their terms. And now, James, you were saying they can't say much worse things. No, but they could do much worse things. I'm going to give you a couple of key words. The guy's name is Leo Homan. And I'm hoping Kirk can find this article that he gave me. Leo Homan, I think it's with WorldNet Daily, wrote an article talking about the Chinese. And they're not liking Christians too well over there, Kurt.
Ooh, let's see. Leo Homan, the Chinese.
Headline. You
know, Globe. No, let's
Christians
see.
Being killed.
Oh, yeah,
for
yeah.
For organ well, harvesting.
They Leo do Homan. Like Christians there, Sam, because, I mean, they create good organs. I mean, you know, they're they basically just are killing them. And this is a WorldNet Daily piece, but they say new evidence suggests China is engaged in large-scale forced organ harvesting. All the more reason to make them our most favored nation trading partner. They say killing prisoners of conscience, including many Christians, and selling their organs on the lucrative international market. This article goes on to say, just as the establishment politicians and media in the U.S. tried to cover up and hide the Planned Parenthood trade in baby body parts after it was exposed by undercover journalists, that's the real kind of journalism, the Chinese government and media have also denied any such trade exists in China. But a couple of investigators have spent 10 years researching evidence of forced organ harvesting from prisoners of conscience in China. They told the Canadian Parliament's Human Rights Subcommittee that the practice of killing for profit-driven transplants continues unabated in China. That's according to the Epoch Times. International human rights lawyer David Mattis and former Crown attorney and cabinet minister David Kilgore presented the findings in their latest report. You know, I didn't see anything about this on CNN. I don't think the New York Times had a piece on this, but they say based on an analysis of more than 700 organ transplantation centers in China, ooh, that's big business. The report indicated that Chinese hospitals have performed an estimated 60,000 to 100,000 organ transplants a year.
So you've got two stories here, folks. You got new evidence suggests China is engaging in wholesale organ harvesting, killing prisoners of conscience, including many Christians, and selling their organs on the lucrative open international markets. Okay? Then you got Christians being killed for organ harvesting. And then the third one, pro-lifers win battle to publicize baby body disposal as the second piece to this, Kurt.
Yeah, now that was a... You know, another piece I didn't see in the New York Times. Bottom line,
you're looking at the wrong papers, Kurt. LibertyNewsDaily.com, my friend.
Yeah, that's right. Good point. The guys at Planned Parenthood have to have kind of, I guess, somebody to take out the trash, and that's really sad. But the Thomas More Society has announced that a lawsuit brought against the Ohio-based pro-life advocacy group called Created Equal and its national director, Mark Harrington, this lawsuit has been dropped. The legal team confirmed that Stericycle, that's the name of the company that takes out the trash for the Planned Parenthood folks. They moved to dismiss the complaint it had brought against the citizens group. The campaign used Stericycle CEO, board members, and the public to cease handling the disposal of what they call medical waste.
And the bottom line here is this. Pro-life versus pro-death is center stage in the world. We don't stand on our pro-life Christian values, we're going to be basically literally Christian supremacists. They will destroy us through labeling and abuse. If we don't come together and stand for freedom and pro-life and liberty, they're going to destroy babies. They're going to take their body parts and do all these crazy things. We reported back in the day that in China and some of these countries, they literally eat baby fetuses as a health food. We talked about that in detail, folks. We talked about the fact that they have these, you know, body parts everywhere. They're literally killing Christians that are prisoners and taking their body parts. This is a satanic effort by those who hate Christianity. And that's really where the rubber meets the road, James Edwards, and then your response. Their real goal is to attack our Christian beliefs, our Christian ties, our Christian world views, because if they destroy that, they destroy everything. And if they can't touch that, they'll never win. And that's what it really comes down to, James.
It is interesting, the link between white supremacy and Christian supremacy. I don't think the whole Christian supremacist slur is going to take off. I don't think that's going to become as radioactive as white supremacists. But interestingly, the reason why Western civilization, in my opinion, was able to grow and to be a leader and to be responsible for the discovery of all of these inventions and innovations that have helped all of mankind, the reason why Western countries have a better standard of living and have accomplished more, relatively speaking, than some of the other countries and some of the other nations is because it was the West, it was Europe, that embraced Christianity. So I do think there is somewhat of a tie there. And I believe God's blessings were poured out on the people who called on his name. And throughout the history of Europe, it was also called Christendom because back then, of course, most Western nations were Christian. Not so much today, but still more than most. But with China, you know, you have all this stuff. Russia's supposed to be so bad and evil, and Putin's evil. And there may be some things you don't like about Putin, but let me tell you something. Russia is increasingly becoming a very Orthodox Christian nation again. I mean, they make the Christianity of America look very watered down in comparison. But why is Russia supposed to be so bad? Russia's not committing these atrocities against life like China is. China's supposed to be great. China's our most favored trading partner and all of this. I think it's going to be a rude awakening for China, economically speaking, when we start to put America first again in our trade deals. But if anybody, if there's any country out there, any superpower that should be getting criticized, it's not Russia, it's China.
You're right as rain. Now, the hatred towards Christians takes many forms, from creating this new label called Christian Supremacist in relation to Mike Pence. You know, you got the cake battles in America where, you know, Christians don't want to make cakes for gay wedding folks, etc. I guess we've exported something, and it should have been the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, to other nations to help them turn towards Christianity and morality and integrity and God-given unalienable rights, and that government is not supreme, but God is idea. We should be exporting that, but we're not, Kurt. We've just exported our hatred and taken it all to court, right?
Yeah, they got a gay cake deal going on in Belfast, Ireland, according to Bob Unruh, WorldNet Daily. There's a bunch of evil guys because they're Christian owners of Asher's Bakery there in Northern Ireland, and they say they're considering taking their case against the nation's new mandate, you know, that's force, ladies and gentlemen, to promote homosexuality to the European Court of Human Rights. But anyway, I guess they were penalized by the local Equality Commission. Yeah, that's how it works, you know. Equal, everybody's equal. Some are just a little more equal than others. For Northern Ireland, after the owners said they could not promote homosexuality on a cake demanded by a customer because it violated their faith. There you go. Great news out of Ireland, huh?
Well, I would say this, Sam. I don't have any problem at all. You talked about discrimination earlier. Nothing wrong. I'd like to follow this up on the flip side of this commercial. Nothing wrong with private businesses, particularly these Christian businesses, discriminating.
Yeah, they call it a right of discrimination. We got to stand for that right for people to do it if they want to. We'll talk about this. Liberty Roundtable Live, news the networks refuse to use, straight ahead on your radio. James Edwards, ThePoliticalCesspool.org, our award-winning shotgun guest.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Kirk Crosby, James Edwards, Sam Bushman on your radio. So, James, you were going to follow up on this here. Hey, this is just abusive everywhere, isn't it?
Well, what were we talking about before the break? I know it had something to do with censorship.
Kurt, you want to chime in?
Well, the bottom line is the guys over in Ireland were dealing with this gay cake thing. If they're a Christian, then they could force them to make a gay cake. Now, on the other hand, we can't force people to have a baby, and protect that little baby because those people have a choice. Now, these people with cake stuff, they don't have a choice to not make a cake.
What we're really talking about is the right of discrimination. If I don't want to make cakes for people, I don't have to. If I say, you know what, I don't believe that people should have shortening frosting. You know that gross shortening frosting? What's that stuff called? Anybody who likes that, you can't come in my bakery. Get out of here. No, I should be able to do that.
Let me say this. First of all, I think, honestly, obviously it's still a long shot, but with Trump, the impossible becomes possible because he's not beholden to anyone. He's his own man. And I think, as much as I believe he sincerely has a lot of these beliefs that he campaigned on, I think even if he wasn't firm on them, he may try to push them through just to spite the opposition. But I think for the first time in our lives, for the first time since 1977, there is a chance that Roe versus Wade could be revisited. Now, with regards to the discrimination, this is what we were talking about before the break. I had a brain freeze. Yes, small businesses absolutely should have the right to discriminate for whatever reason or no reason at all. And by discriminate, I mean they should be able to pick and choose with whom they do business. And that is a fundamental right. Now, that became, of course, under assault back in the 60s. But a lot of times, obviously, you have with these radical homosexuals, of all the places in any given big city where they could go to get a cake, they have to go to a small mom-and-pop Christian bakery. Obviously, they're going in there as provocateurs to punish these people once they stand on principle and get them fined or thrown out of business or shut down or whatever. But you should have the right to do that. And I will apply that. There's a big news story out today about how alt-right Twitter accounts are being banned. Now, some people say it's a little bit different with Twitter and organizations like Facebook because they basically have a monopoly. And because they're a monopoly in such that there's no other social media outlets that give you exactly what Facebook and Twitter respectively give you, that's a little bit different, that violates antitrust laws, and perhaps even they should be nationalized as public utilities. But if you just take the argument that Twitter is a private company, which I guess it is, it's not certainly not a government company, even though a lot of these people are my friends and they certainly did nothing wrong, there was no advocation of violence or any mean-spiritedness, they just got banned because for whatever reason.
Has your Twitter account got banned?
Say what now?
Has your Twitter account got banned yet?
No, the Southern Poverty Law Center gave to Twitter a list of 100 accounts. Surely mine was on it to be banned, or that they would like to see banned. Only a handful have been banned, Richard Spencer being one of the more prominent. But I'm still on there. Jared Taylor is still on there. So many of the identifiable leaders or people who have been lumped into leadership of the alt-right are still on there. Even David Duke's still on there. So the purge hasn't been widespread, but they have made a few examples out of certain people. But what I would say is this, though. Fine. If Twitter is a public entity, or rather a private entity, they can ban whoever they want to. But you know what? We get to do it, too.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that just strange? No, you don't get to do that, sir. You're just a bigot. You don't get equal. You know.
There's the rub.
All right. Twitter bans alt-right accounts. I want to get to this story before the end of the hour, too, because it relates. Kurt, Houston mom investigated after kicking 7-year-old son out of her house over voting for Donald Trump.
I saw this.
You got the details, Kurt?
Well, yeah, and, I guess they have a station down there called 13 News now in Houston, Texas, and apparently, this lady later says this is all a joke, but anyway, she made a video of her 7-year-old son who had told his mom that he voted for Trump in a mock election at school. I was kind of thinking maybe he actually got to vote because, you know, with the whole vote fraud thing, you know, and stuff like that.
I don't see why
but,
not.
So she wrote a note to him, a lovely little note. She says, since you voted for Trump, you can get your SH and get out the suitcases packed by the door. She told her son, this is a 7-year-old son, as he cried and begged to stay. Later in the video, the mom asked the child why he voted for Trump, which he reasoned because he sees the now president-elect a lot on TV. That's what he said. Now, they say the Fort Bend County Sheriff's Office.
I would
child
say it's because
the
kid's
services,
got common sense.
The Child Protective Services are currently investigating, but a detective says the mom told him it was only a joke. So in the future, if you ever have any Child Protective Services guys or any of that stuff come by, you know, just use that. Just say, look, it was only a joke.
I started a joke.
Yeah.
All right. Now, there's a headline too, Kurt. What comes after the uprising? Now, I don't think we had an uprising when Americans do their duty and stand for who they want for office. But the mainstream and the ignorant insiders call it an uprising as if, how dare you, great unwashed. I reject the whole narrative here. But nevertheless, they say president-elect needs to assure the country, including those who oppose him, that it's going to be okay.
Yeah, now this is
a lie,
part of
Kurt.
That's right. This is the opposite, or this is an example of when Buchanan calls him and he says, don't accept the poison chalice. Peggy Noonan at the Wall Street Journal is writing this piece. And, you know, it's lengthy, et cetera, all that kind of stuff. Little cough there, so I put the mute button. But anyway, way down in her article, all the way to the end, at least in my opinion, is about the only real useful piece of this. She says, Donald Trump doesn't know how to be president. He isn't a reader of the presidency. He's never held office. There's little reason to believe he knows how to do this.
Yeah.
The next president
You got to be a thug and on the dole and on the scandal and everything else in order to do that, Kurt. This is a lie.
She said it is the patriots who matter, many of whom kept away from Mr. Trump in the past. They are needed now. They have heft.
Amen.
Wisdom, experience, and insight. So I was impressed with those words, but like I say, they're way down at the bottom of the Wall Street Journal article. Most papers would never get that because they'll cut at the top upper sections. And
yes, sir.
That
and they know that.
Never
that
get
way they
there.
Can claim they reported it, but yet it never grows legs, and they
exactly.
know it full well. One of the interesting things about this, though, is this is a lie. Donald Trump doesn't need to assure anybody. What Trump needs to reiterate is this. If you are in the banking cartel and you're on Wall Street and you're committing criminal activity, you will be prosecuted. Got that? Hillary, you are going to jail. Got that? All you inside thugs that helped Hillary and cover it up in the FBI, Comey on down, you know what? You people better shake in your boots. Illegal aliens who have abused the law and that are criminals, you better shake in your boots because we're cleaning house, baby. And so I don't think he needs to reassure anybody. The law-abiding citizen doesn't need reassurance. I'm comfortable in my own skin. I've done nothing wrong. And I submit to you that that's what we need to do. We don't need to assure criminals and thugs and enemies of freedom anything. Except for you're going to get your comeuppance. Your day is a-coming. Reckoning will be realized. Maybe the justice wheels of justice grind slowly. But, buddy, they do grind, James.
I love that.
That's what I'm saying.
What a great way to end the hour, which, of course, this is always the fastest hour of my month to be on with you fellows. But I'm telling you, I said this on my show last Saturday, Trump is not going to be a team player in the most healthy sense that you could not be a team player. He is not going to be a team player with the forces that opposed him. By opposing him, honestly, oppose Christianity, oppose the principles that made this nation great. He is not going to do business as usual. Already today, there was a headline, Mike Pence has thrown out every lobbyist that was on the transition team.
Get it done, Mike. Thank you, sir.
So I don't see a lot of wheeling and dealing with the left in a Trump administration.
Well, and I hope you're correct. One of the last points that we want to make is Oprah Winfrey now is being scorned. She said when she saw Donald meet with Obama, it gave her hope. And so now the celeb is scorned over saying hope lives after seeing that. And so now they're saying, you know what, we used to revere the womanhood of Oprah, but now, oh no. In fact, she's one of those internalistic, misogynistic enemies of everything that matters. See, these people are crazy.
She's an Uncle Tom, isn't she, Sam? That's
well,
what
yes,
she
sir.
Would be
but she's worse because she's even a misogynistic Uncle Tom. See, because she hates her own self, Kurt.
Yeah, she just doesn't know it. And a bunch of celebrities are all ticked off because she said
their hate speech gave her hope. Their hate speech on Twitter is out of this world. We need to shut down their Twitter accounts yesterday, James.
Well, there's people on Twitter literally threatening to murder Trump supporters, but they're not purred. So we can ponder on that until tomorrow.
By the way, there's a Trump-supporting pastor. We'll have to tell you about that tomorrow. Just imagine one of those. I don't even know what color he is. I don't know what color he is, but they're going to attack him somehow. I can tell you that right now. If he's a freedom-loving Christian guy that wants to support Trump, then they're going to absolutely quadruple down and just absolutely attack. And their rhetoric will be based on what color he is. Isn't that interesting when they call us racists? What a bunch of dishonest thugs. All right, LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. This nation will endure. Thanks.